We are glad to present your speaker, Ray Weddington.
If you'll take a moment to look at the 54th Psalm here in the book, some of your Bibles have a superscription right above the first verse. Now, this superscription was once part of the original text, because when the psalmist wrote this, this told the musician what type of song or psalm that it was, how it was to be played, and what type of lesson was to be learned from this psalm. Now, in this superscription, we read that it's to the chief musician. It's a Maskela. It's a psalm of David when the Zephins came and said to Saul, "Does not David hide himself with us?" Now, this is a very wordy superscription, but we learn from this that it was a Maskela. Now, that's a Jewish term that it means instruction or insight. And all Maskela psalms are designated to give instruction or insight into some certain situation. We know from this that this will be a situation concerning the problems of dealing with other people. And we don't have to guess from this superscription what prompted David to write this. He had problems with other people, and specifically when Saul was trying to kill him and search out the land for him. Now, the event that caused the writing of this is found in 1 Samuel, the 23rd chapter, the 14th verse through the 26th verse. If you would, we'll read about this, and this is set up what this psalm is all about. David is fleeing from Saul. Saul is the anointed king of Israel, but Saul has displeased God. And David had been anointed to be the next king of Israel. Saul has grown very jealous of David. He's more important in God's eyes, and he's more important in the people's eyes. But Saul is still the head of the nation of Israel. But Saul is trying to eliminate his competition, David. So he's trying to have him killed. And David flees from the hand of Saul. We read in verse 14 of the 23rd chapter of 1 Samuel, "And David abode in the wilderness, in strongholds, and remained in a mountain, in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose, and went to David into the wood, and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul my father knoweth. And they two made a covenant before the Lord. And David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. Then came up the Ziphites to Saul, to Gibeah, saying, Doth not David hide himself with us in the strongholds in the wood, in the hill of Hasilah, which is on the south of Jeshimon? Now therefore, O king, come down according to the desire of thy soul to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand. And Saul said, Blessed be the Lord, for ye had compassion on me. Go, I pray you, prepare ye it. You know and see his place where his haunt is, and who has seen him there? For it is told me that he dealeth very subtly. See therefore and take knowledge, and all the lurking places where he hideth himself. And come ye again to me with a certainty, and I will go with you. And it shall come to pass, if he be in the land, that I will search him out throughout all the thousands of Judea. And they arose and went to Ziph before Saul. But David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, in the plain on the south of Jeshimon. Saul also and his men went to seek him. And they told David, wherefore he came down into a rock, and abode in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued after David in the wilderness of Maon. And Saul went on this side of the mountain, and David and his men on that side of the mountain. And David made haste to get away for fear of Saul. And Saul and his men compassed David and his men round about to take them." David's in a very precarious situation then. The previous chapter had told us that David had about 600 men, just a very small army. Saul, on the other hand, has the army of the nation of Israel, and Saul's got him surrounded. It's a very sad time for David right now. And as this begins, we can see that David is being in a very precarious situation. David is being hunted by jealous King Saul. His hiding place is a bleak and rugged. His life is in danger and he tries to find a place of safety. But he's betrayed by these Ziphites. He thought he was on neutral ground there, a place where he could rest and sleep. But that rest was not possible. The Ziphites turn against him, and they report his whereabouts to Saul. So Saul comes to chase after him. David goes to the wilderness of Maon, but he finds himself surrounded by the Ziphites and Saul's soldiers at this time. Now, if you will, in your mind's eye, just capture the picture here. David here, he's probably hungry, he's thirsty, he's dirty, he's sweated, he's exhausted. We read that he's in fear of Saul and his armies. He's no doubt very discouraged here. And he probably sits down to write about his feelings at this time, how he feels as he's hunted down by Saul, as the situation looks very bleak at this time. He's been attacked and let down by people, and records these expressions, these feelings, are what we have before us in the 54th Psalm. The first three verses serve to tell us this: Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers are risen up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul, and they have not set God before them. David begins by saying, Save me, O God, and hear my prayer, O God. Now it's interesting to note that in the original Hebrew Bible, it's written differently than in the English version of the Bible. Literally, it reads, O God, save me. O God, hear my prayer. Now normally, the verb appears before the noun in the Hebrew writing. But this sentence is changed to give emphasis to this thought. As David says, O God. And he repeats it twice. We can draw from this the amount of despair that David was in. As he writes these words and he pleads in this prayer, O God, save me by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. He's asking Jehovah God to be with him at this time. Save, from the original Hebrew word, means when one has plenty of room. It means an open space. It means to be free. David is asking for God to rescue him, to save him, to give him plenty of open room so that he may flee and be safe and secure. Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me, or vindicate me, or defend me by thy strength, by thy power. David knows that God has this power. God has the strength, the ability to help him in this precarious situation as he's faced about by these two groups, by the Ziphites and by Saul and his army, who are trying to capture him and thus kill him. Yes, God, to hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. Be attentive to what I'm asking you at this time. Give words. Please take the time to understand me and to listen to what I have to say. It's interesting to note that as David is dealing here in this very difficult situation with this most difficult person, Saul, the king of Israel, the first thing he does is to go to God in prayer. It's a lesson we need to learn. When we have to deal with difficult people, and they verbally abuse us, or however we are abused, what's the first thing we do? Do we drop to our knees in prayer? No, we strike back. We retaliate. Prayer is the last thing, if rather of all, we do go to God in prayer. We usually fight back first. We retaliate. We develop a sense of resentment for the one who makes our life so miserable. Observe that David requests deliverance, defense, vindication, help on the basis of two things: God's name and God's strength or power. Throughout the Old Testament, God is called by at least 12 different names. Each of these names signifies a different characteristic of Jehovah God. And David calls to mind two attributes of God, His power and His omnipotence. We all know we need strength when people assault us, when we have difficulty dealing with other people. God's presence, we know He is ever with us, in here and in our daily life. We, like David, can call upon God's presence, God's name. He will be with us. We need that and God's strength because we can't do it ourselves. David couldn't do it without God, and neither can we when we have to endure the people-related conflicts that's going to come into our lives. In verse 3, David says that strangers are risen up against me and oppressors seek after my soul. This word oppressors has been translated to mean strangers seek after my soul. Oppressors have been translated to violent men. Strangers have risen up against me. Oppressors or violent men have sought after my soul, or actually sought after my life. And David says, they have not set God before them. Two groups of people, the strangers, the Ziphites, this group who had betrayed David unto Saul, the violent men, the oppressors, is Saul and his army. These two groups collectively and join, come together to surround David, and they want his life. David knows that's the ultimate outcome. We won't be in such a situation, or it's very rare that we would be, where somebody actually wants our life. Our difficulty deals with the human nature of people that we have to deal with day in and day out. But we can learn the same lesson from this. David states also that they did not have God set before them. That is, God was not in these people's thinking. God was not the one responsible for their actions. Their suspicions was not prompted by Jehovah God. He was not backing them, which brings up a practical point we need to keep in mind in our dealings with our fellow man. When we're betrayed by a friend, or when we come against someone who is difficult and hard to get along with, sometimes we might say it's like being kicked by a mule. It's hard to deal with. But it's best to consider the source. As in the case of a mule, you were kicked by a creature whose nature it was to kick. David said, "Why do the heathens rage?" as he wrote in another psalm. A very simple answer might be, simply because they're heathens. We need to consider the source, as the psalmist did. When we're wrongly treated, consider the source, where that mistreatment is coming from. When you're wrongly treated, remember, and you are in the right, let's make that stipulation, and you are in the right, remember, like Saul and the Ziphites, they have not set God before them. Consider the source. He doesn't energize their actions. He is not behind them. That means, by the way, that as long as you are in the right, God is on your side, not theirs. So relax. That's a wonderful thought, that God can be on our side in the right. Though we may have to withstand against numerous difficult people and have to deal with them, as long as we're in the right and we're treating people right and we're dealing right and justly with our fellow man, God is with us, just as He was with David on this occasion. God will be there, and we have that assurance. The psalmist goes on in verses 4 and 5 that says these words, "Behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. He shall reward evil unto mine enemies. Cut them off in thy truth." The first part of the verse, where David says, "Behold, God is mine helper," is very similar to the 46th Psalm. And David gives these words that say, God is a very present help in trouble. The same thought there. God is his help. God is his relief. He furnishes that relief for his children, for his people. And David knew that. David knew that Jehovah God was his defender and that he would be there for him. The passage goes on to say that he is with them that upholds or sustains his soul or his life. He is our sustainer, and he will be with those, not with us only, but with those also who try to help us, who try to sustain us and help our lives. Jehovah God comprises within himself the highest degree or class or helpers. David says in another passage that if I were to call together all those who have helped me within my lifetime, if I could call them all together, underneath them, sustaining them all, would be my Lord, Jehovah God. God is with them who helps and sustains me. We have that assurance as well. We are in the right, and those that help us, God will not only be with us, but with them as well. God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that upholds or sustains my life or my soul. God is with us. Now the fifth verse points out that evil that was planned against David would return unto them who had sought the evil against David. He says, he shall reward evil unto mine enemies, cut them off in thy truth. Their very wrongdoing that they tried to perpetrate upon David would backfire against them. And God would see to it that David's integrity was withheld, that his life would be protected, and their evil schemes would backfire against them. That's like picturing the Saturday morning cartoon character, the Roadrunner and the coyote who's trying to get him. We know that the Roadrunner is the speedy little bird, and the coyote takes every imaginable trick that he can think of. But every time he has this great plan in mind, it backfires against him. And the harm that he wanted done to the Roadrunner comes back upon himself. That's what's happened here to the enemies of David. The very evil, the very harm that they wanted to prepare to have come to David comes back to him. He shall reward evil unto mine enemies. Cut them off in thy truth. We have that same assurance that the believer who maintains his integrity before Jehovah God and before the world, when he is under the attack of difficult people, as he goes to God in prayer and asks for his help, the evil, the ill will that was planned against us will be returned upon the attacker, thanks to our defender, to our sustainer, Jehovah God. Thanks to his faithfulness, this attack will be foiled. It will be turned back. In the 91st Psalm, verses 5 through 10, we have some of these same ideas expressed as the psalmist is giving this assurance of those that believe and have faith in Jehovah God. Verse 5 says, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold, and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. We have this assurance, just as David did. The believer, the one who trusts and puts his faith in Jehovah God, has this same assurance that God will be with you, that God will protect you, and that he will be there for you. Now, as we read verse 5, we sometimes think, well, that seems awfully severe, doesn't it? That God will, Scripture says, he will cut them off in his truth. Surely God won't actually destroy the enemy. Well, in the time when this was written, yes, God actually said he would. The Hebrew word which this is taken from means to exterminate, and actually with the verb expressed here, meaning literally to cause to annihilate. those who were enemies of Jehovah God. These men were not only enemies of David, but they were enemies of Jehovah God. As the Scripture says, they had not set God before them. Their lives were not in harmony with God's will. So not only would God save David, but he would destroy the enemy as well. But sometimes, when we're faced with an enemy, when we're faced with those who try to harm us, it's so easy, when we're under this pressure, to want to play God, isn't it? We have thought about the temptation of taking vengeance upon those who strike out against us. But we know that we should not do this. We read in the 12th chapter of Romans, verses 17 through 18, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peacefully with all men. Dearly beloved," verse 19, "avenge not yourselves, but rather give place in the wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." We don't need to try to strike back. We don't need to try to get even. We go to God in prayer. We do all that we can for ourselves and for our fellow man. And then we leave it in God's hand. He knows how to deal with that situation a lot better than we ever could. It requires us leaving any vengeance to the one that can handle it best, and that is Jehovah God. Verse 6 then tells us, "I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good." The tension shifts again. The tension is on the psalmist now. He's saying, even in the midst of all this trouble, I know that you're my sustainer. I know that you will save me. I know that you will help me, dear God, and I will freely sacrifice unto thee. And I will praise you, and I will praise your name, dear God. I will give thanks to you, for it is good. A major step that we can take in dealing with difficult people is if we try to say, "Thank you, Lord, for giving me this experience," as we pray to God. It's going to enrich us, and we're going to grow up spiritually. We will be stronger, and we'll be able to handle it better the next time that we encounter it. It's hard to say, "Thank you for this experience of being misused, abused, misunderstood, spied upon, or whatever it is, but thank you, Lord. It's been good." We need to. We need to try to grow up spiritually for our own good. David finally reached this point. He not only gave thanks, but he said, "This is good." And then something marvelous happened. Look at, as we turn back to 1 Samuel, the 23rd chapter, and we read verses 27 through 29. As we left David, he is on one side of the mountain, Saul and his men on the other. They're surrounded by them and the Ziphites. It's a hopeless situation for David, right? He's got God on his side. "There came a messenger unto Saul, saying, haste thee and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. Wherefore Saul returned from pursuing after David and went against the Philistines. Therefore they called that place Selah Hamath-Letoph, and David went up from thence and dwelt in the strongholds of En-Gedi." What happened? A messenger came and said, "Saul, you're going to have to leave. The Philistines have invaded the land." Did God save David? Yes, he did. David was a man after God's own heart. David knelt down in prayer and he said, "Dear God, help me. I need relief from this bad situation. It looks bad. It looks bleak. They've got me surrounded. Dear God, can you help me?" Yes, he did. He sent relief. The Philistines had invaded the land. Saul had to leave from his personal vendetta of trying to get David's life. And he had to flee after for the Philistines. And David then leaves down from this mountain and goes into the land of En-Gedi. How to live with difficult people is something that we're going to have to strive for. It's something that we're going to have to encounter each and every day. David says in verse 7, "For he hath delivered me out of all trouble, and mine eye has seen his desire upon mine enemies." David said relief was there. It's just from Jehovah God. I couldn't do it myself, but he hath delivered me out of all trouble. and my eye has seen his desire upon mine enemies. What I wanted to happen to my enemies, that happened. I got relief, and it's by the hand of Jehovah God. Sometimes we all need relief from what we encounter in life, the difficult people we had to deal with. But let's remember what we learned this morning. Take time to pray for Jehovah God and ask His help. We don't always know how to handle the difficult person. There's been a lot of self-help books written on the subject, but the best book ever written is right before us if we'll just use it, Jehovah God's Word. Let's ask God's help. Let's ask Him to be with us. Let's do all we can to try to treat the other person right, to try to treat people as we would like to be treated. Let's pray for those who despitefully use us and abuse us. But let's not retaliate. Let's not try to make a difficult situation worse. Let's hand it over to God once we do all that we can. This morning we've been talking about how to deal with difficult people. But one person that's not difficult to get along with is Jehovah God, if we are pleasing within His sight. We have the assurance, we have the promise that He will ever be there with us, that He will be there for us if we are His children. But it's going to be a very bad situation, and it will be very difficult for those who are not in obedience unto His will. It'll be the worst and most difficult situation you'll ever encounter, harder than having to deal with every person upon this earth, to be at odds with Jehovah God if you're not pleasing in His sight. This morning, if you never accepted God as your Savior, the opportunity is extended unto you to come forward as you've repented of your sins and confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and to be baptized for the remission of your sins. Or if you, as a Christian, have publicly sinned and need to be restored unto your first love, the invitation is extended unto you.